Welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this 12th day of March, 2022. Glad to be in fellowship with you and praise God for opening the way to allow us to gather together from various parts of the world to worship our God in spirit and in truth. Welcome to those that are on the phone joining with us, those that are listening to the recording. Glad to have you in fellowship with us as well. Got a couple announcements before we get into our service. The first announcement is that in about 14 hours, daylight savings time is coming in our state here in Oregon and state of New York and other states in the United States as well. So our next service here will be an hour earlier for those who do not have daylight savings time. Yeah, we spring ahead. And I sort of like daylight savings time because we lose an hour, but that means I'm going to bed an hour earlier at night. So I'm actually gaining an hour of sleep. But then I have to remember that I lose an hour in the morning. So you can't fudge at night and expect to recover in the morning because it just doesn't work. So that means that the Spanish children's lesson, for those who have daylight savings time, that will begin an hour earlier for you. So if you've been coming to the Spanish children lesson at 10 a.m., next week it will be at 9 a.m. for you because they don't change their time. So we lose an hour, which means their meeting will be an hour earlier. So please make a note of that. The second announcement is that the women's meeting will be taking place this coming Monday, again at 6 p.m. Pacific time or 9 p.m. Eastern time. So please put that on your calendar, and it'd be wonderful to see you there in the meeting. So that's the two announcements. And our opening song for today's service is titled, Look for the Waymarks. We've been discussing these waymarks, and we'll continue to do so today. Look for the waymarks as you journey on. Look for the waymarks passing one by one. Down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Where are we standing? Look the waymarks o'er. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks. Down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks. The journey's almost o'er.
First, the Assyrian kingdom ruled the world. Then Medo-Persia's banners were unfurled, and after Greece held universal sway, Rome seized the scepter. Where are we today? Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks. The journey's almost o'er.
down in the feet of iron and of clay, weak and divided, soon to pass away. What will the next great glorious drama be? Christ and his coming and eternity. Look for the way marks, the great prophetic way marks, down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the way marks, the great prophetic way marks. The journey's almost o'er. And we'll find out more in our sermon today. First, it's time for opening prayer, and please join with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is not bound by time, but can look into the future and see exactly what is going to take place, especially in the ending days of this earth's history. We thank you for inspiring holy prophets of old to write down the things that you've revealed to them, and that you've preserved these writings for us today, so that we may benefit by reading them, studying them, and understanding them. And thank you for sending your Spirit to us that we may be led and guided into all truth. Thank you for revealing to us the history of nations, and also revealing to us the last nation that is going to exist. And as we see that we're to that point in time, then we know that time is short. So please help us to get ourselves ready and prepared. Help us not to be caught off guard. Help us not to be lost, but instead to stand on the winning side in this great controversy, the side of Christ, truth, and righteousness. And thank you for making it all possible. We pray that you'll be with those who do not understand what is taking place in this world. We pray that you will prepare the way for the truth to reach them, that their hearts will be prepared to see, recognize, and benefit from it, that they too can be saved and not lost. Be with those that are hurting or sorrowing, that are experiencing trouble, perplexity, depression, that are suffering bodily ills and afflictions. We pray that you will mercifully work in their life to bring deliverance, freedom, peace, contentment, healing, and joy. And we know that they have to look up to find all of these things that their Savior will freely give them. We thank you for making it all possible, and for not forsaking us. So we thank you that your presence is here, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, as well as the heavenly angels. We pray, dear Spirit, that you will increase our ability to understand the truth, to appreciate it, to fall more in love with it, and thus be set free from all error and bondage. Thank you so very much for doing so, and for uplifting the Savior, that we may fall more in love with him today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, one and all. And This is a part two in this sermon dealing with the great 2600 plus year prophecy. And this is the final part in our particular sermon. And last time we discovered that out of the 2500 or so prophecies that are found in the scriptures, that there is a particular prophecy found in Daniel chapter 2 that is currently over 2600 years old. We also discovered that about 90% of this prophecy has been fulfilled perfectly in perfect accuracy, and that it will not be completely fulfilled until Christ comes again. We also discovered that God gave this particular prophecy to one of the greatest kings this world has ever seen. This was King Nebuchadnezzar. And he ruled over one of the greatest kingdoms in world history, and that was the kingdom of Babylon. We then saw that while King Nebuchadnezzar was laying down to sleep in the year 603 BC, that he wondered what the future held for his kingdom after he would pass away. And so during his sleep, God mercifully gave him a dream that accurately depicted various major kingdoms and powers that would come after Babylon over the next 2600 years, until the final kingdom would arise that would conquer all others and then rule over the entire earth. We then learned last time that since Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember what he had dreamed, that God then gave the king's dream to Daniel, one of God's servants, who then came before the king and relayed to him his dream. And Nebuchadnezzar had seen an image or statue that was made up of different types of metal arranged into sections. The first section was a head of gold. The next was chest and arms of silver. The next was belly and thighs of brass. The next was legs of iron, and then feet of iron mixed with clay. And this image was standing immovable upon a plain or a spot of land. And then a stone came and struck the image at its feet of iron and clay. And then all of these metalled sections broke apart, they crumbled into pieces, and then blew away into nothing. But the stone remained, and the stone grew into a great mountain that then filled the entire earth. We then understood that the kingdom of Babylon represented the head of gold, the first golden section, and that the kingdom of Babylon ruled the world from 606 BC to 539 BC, and that it was conquered by the kingdom of the combined nations of the Medes and Persians that represented the chest and arms of silver. And Medo-Persia ruled the world from 539 BC to 331 BC. And then they were conquered by the nation of Greece. And Greece represented the belly and thighs of brass. So Greece then ruled the world for 163 years, from 331 BC to 168 BC. And then it was conquered by the Iron Kingdom of Rome. And the kingdom of Rome ruled the world for some 643 years, from 168 BC until 476 AD. And then Rome succumbed to the never-ending attacks from the various barbarian kingdoms that had made up its empire, which were 10 of these kingdoms. And then Rome was divided into 10. And that represented the feet of 10 toes made of iron and clay. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ id28.htm. So id28.htm. And if you look at quote number one, again, these 10 kingdoms that arose after the fall of Rome were the Saxons, and they developed into the nation of England. The second was the Franks. They developed into the nation of France. The third was the Alemanni. They developed into the German nation. The fourth was the Visigoths, and they developed into the nation of Spain. The fifth was the Suevi. They developed into the Portuguese nation. The sixth was the Lombards. They developed into Italy. The seventh was the Burgundians. They developed into the Swiss nation. The eighth was the Heruli. The ninth was the Vandals. And the tenth was the Ostrogoths. And these last three nations were eliminated by the Little Horn, or the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church. You can find that in Daniel 7, verse 8. So these were the 10 nations that came into being after Rome fell. But we also learned that this prophetic dream revealed that a stone would strike the feet of this image, which would cause the entire image to break apart and blow away into nothing. And then this stone would grow into a great mountain that would fill the earth. And this stone represented a fifth world-ruling kingdom that would never be destroyed. So then who represents this stone and its kingdom? This is what we're going to discover today. So who represents this stone and its never-ending kingdom? If you look at quote number two, in Acts chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, this, or Jesus Christ, is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're told in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And in Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 21. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So these verses reveal to us that the stone represents Jesus Christ, the rock, and the kingdom that he is the ruler and king over began to be established in the days of these kings, especially when he was on the earth some 2,000 years ago. But if this is true, then where is Christ's kingdom of righteousness today? If he is the stone and his kingdom is the fifth world ruling kingdom, then where is Christ's kingdom today? If you look at quote number three, in John 18, verses 36 to 7, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of the world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So these verses reveal to us that even though Jesus Christ is a real, literal king, and he rules over a real, literal kingdom, yet this kingdom of God that Christ is the king of is not of this world. In other words, it is not patterned after all the other nations which have ruled this world. So it doesn't have standing armies who enforce oppressive laws. Christ's kingdom doesn't have various political ruling classes within it. And so if this kingdom of Christ is not of this world, then exactly where is it? Christ is a literal king and he has a literal kingdom. Where is this kingdom? Look at quote number 4. In Luke 17, verses 20 to 21. And when he, or Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So where is the kingdom of God to be found today? It's not a literal kingdom that you can look at and see with your eyes. Christ's literal kingdom is not on this wicked world, but it is a spiritual kingdom, and this kingdom is found within your heart. So then if Christ's kingdom is found within our hearts, how can we become part of his kingdom? This kingdom is a never-ending kingdom. So how can we become a part of it? If you look at quote number 5. We don't become part of Christ's kingdom by joining some denomination or church. That's not his kingdom. We become part of Christ's kingdom by accepting him, the truth, into our hearts. So if we accept the truth of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ Jesus into our hearts, we become part of Christ's kingdom. That's Matthew 24:14. And the truth of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the chosen of God, the Lamb that taketh away our sins. That Jesus is our God, the great I Am, God with us, Emmanuel. That Christ is to be our Savior and Redeemer because he and he alone saves us from all of our sins and grants to us eternal life. And Christ is the only connecting link between us and God the Father. He's the only one that can bring us to God Almighty. So that's the gospel of the kingdom. And it's by accepting Christ into your heart that you become part of his kingdom. So if you believe the gospel and accept it, if you allow Christ's truth to reign in your heart and follow the truth in your daily life, then you are a child of the kingdom. And in Christ's parables, you would be likened to the good seed of wheat. That's Matthew 13:38. But sadly, not everyone is going to accept the gospel of truth in Christ Jesus. And for those who refuse to accept Christ as your God and Savior, or perhaps after accepting him as your Savior, you then refuse to follow his truths and do not allow them to reign supreme in your life, then instead of being children of the kingdom, you would show yourselves to be children of the wicked one. And you would be represented in Christ's parables as a bad seed of terror. That's Matthew 13:38. And even though many attempts have been made by Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome and these 10 nations of Western Europe, even though many attempts have been made by these European kings to try and destroy this kingdom of Christ Jesus by attacking Christ's followers and seeking to destroy them, especially during the Inquisition, yet they have all failed to destroy the kingdom of Christ. And any and all future attempts will also fail to destroy Christ's kingdom. And why will it fail? Because the God who knows the future and who never lies has prophesied that Christ's kingdom, if you look at quote number 6, Christ's kingdom shall never be destroyed, that it shall stand forever. And this dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. That's Daniel 2:44-45. So Christ's kingdom will never be destroyed. It will conquer all others. And it alone will reign supreme forever. So with this understanding, what choice, what kingdom do you choose to be a part of, dear ones? Look at quote number 7. Will you accept Christ as your Savior and God? And choose to become a subject of his eternal kingdom of righteousness and peace? Or instead, will you choose to be a subject of the wicked nations of this world? Will you choose to allow the truths of Christ to become the guide of your daily life and actions? Or will you choose to allow the errors and false doctrines of the world to guide your life and actions? For those who choose Jesus, will you follow the example of Christ's disciples and apostles and preach the kingdom of God to others so that they can have this precious choice to accept Christ and reign with him forever or reject Christ and perish? Will you preach this kingdom of God to others? It's Acts 20:25. And you know, this preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, this letting your light shine, is an extremely important area. Because we're told in Matthew 24:14 that when enough followers of Christ live and preach this gospel message, then the end will come. Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So this verse reveals that you and others can hasten Christ's return to this earth. You can bring about the establishment of his kingdom much faster than would occur without your help. And that's one reason why this great prophecy doesn't have an ending date. There's no set time for it to end. because it all depends upon you and me and others working with Christ to establish his kingdom in the hearts of others. And once everyone makes their decision for Christ or against Christ, then the end will come and Christ will return. And it's at the coming of Christ that this great stone, this solid rock, will finally strike this worldly image upon its feet. And then all the nations of the earth will be broken to pieces and will no longer be anymore. And Revelation brings out that after 1,000 years, Christ will then establish his literal kingdom on this earth made new. So it's no longer a cursed earth. It is a purified earth. And all who have embraced Christ as their Savior will be among the immortal subjects in his everlasting kingdom to reign as priests and kings unto God. So then what is your decision going to be, dear ones? Will you choose to stand with all these earthly nations against Jesus and his followers? Or will you instead choose to stand with Jesus and his followers in his kingdom of righteousness in your heart against all these nations? Will you be among the few that will choose to fall on the stone, Jesus Christ, and be broken in heart by humbly acknowledging yourself to be a sinner in need of Jesus as your Savior? Matthew 21:44. Or will you be among the vast majority who remain prideful and reject Jesus until it's forever too late for them? And then the coming of Christ will be like an immense rock falling upon you, which will grind you to powder. It's Matthew 21:44. You know, the Lord God Jesus Christ came down to this earth and died so that you and others can have this precious freedom of choice to either have eternal life or eternal death. And the great God of heaven has given this great prophecy, which has and is being fulfilled to the letter, proving to you that you are and we are at the very end of time, and that everyone needs to wake up now and make their decision because the coming of Christ is near at hand and right at the doors. Dear one, what is your choice going to be? I pray and plead with you to choose Jesus and become like him in character, because throughout all the years of eternity, you will never have a single regret for choosing Jesus. If you look at quote number 8, in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Now, what's the difference between sheep and goats? Sheep willingly follow their shepherd without complaining. Goats, on the other hand, they butt with their heads. They resist. So sheep say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." Goats butt with their heads. They say, "We hear what you're saying, but we want to go somewhere else. So Christ will set the sheep on his right hand, but the stubborn goats on his left. Continuing. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So the sheep followed the example of their shepherd, of Jesus. And just as Jesus ministered to others for their benefit and welfare, so Christ followers will do the same. And in helping one another, they are helping Christ. So that's the sheep. Continuing. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So let us be like the sheep who, when their Lord says to go or to speak or to do something, we say, yes, Lord, I will go. I will speak. I will do as you wish. And in doing so, in following Christ's example and command, we are helping him as well. So let us not be like the goats who say, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to do something else. We're also told in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. So not only do we need to follow the commands of Christ to do good deeds to others in order to become a follower of the Savior, we also have to put away our sins so that we are not working iniquity. Christ came to save us from our sins, not to save us in our sins. And so there's a work not only to do for others, there's a work to do for yourselves. And that is to allow Christ to live to work and to move within you. And as Christ was without sin, so then you soon will also be without sin. And dear ones, all things are possible in Christ Jesus. Our last text is found in 1 John 5:11 and 12. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Dear ones, I pray that you will choose life. Our closing song is titled, Are You Ready for Jesus to Come? The theme of the Bible is Jesus and how he died to save men. The plan of salvation assures us he's coming back again. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my God? Are you ready for Jesus to come?
Don't cling to the world and its treasure. This earth shall soon pass away. Oh, give him your love without measure. He's calling you today. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my God? Are you ready for Jesus to come?
Amen. So the fifth kingdom is already here. And you become part of Christ's kingdom by allowing him to dwell in your heart. I pray, dear ones, that you will choose life. Please join with me in closing prayer. Father, we thank you so very much for revealing the future to us in this prophecy. And thank you, Savior, for making it very plain how we can be saved and not lost, how we can be on the winning side and avoid the losing side, how we can gain eternal life in you and not eternal death in the devil. Thank you, Father, for preserving your word through all of these millennia and allowing it to be so readily available in both the Old and the New Testaments today. There is no excuse for anyone to say, I did not know, because you provided the knowledge, the answers in your word. We pray that you will continue to pour your spirit out upon us and upon the world, that the light of the knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ will become so plain, so bright, that it cannot be ignored, that individuals will see the uplifted Savior and make their choice. And we pray that it's on the choice of Christ and righteousness, on the side of him, instead of on the side of sin and death and Lucifer. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together and searching into these kind of lessons and subjects found in your word. And thank you for dwelling with us. Please continue. We want to be a sheep, not a goat. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's the 2600 plus year prophecy. And dear ones, the ending of this prophecy is all up to us. We can hasten the end or we can delay it, all depending on our choice. The world could have come to an end shortly after 1888, shortly after 1900. It could have already ended way before this. I pray that you will give your heart to Christ, work for him, so that it doesn't go on much longer. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs, requests that you'd like to bring forth at this time? Please go right ahead.
I was just thinking about the difference between the sheep and the goat. And if you remember what happened to the goat, according to the sanctuary services, the goat was led out into the wilderness where he perished. So it just makes sense to be a sheep. And it's the best way to live.
Amen. Amen. And just looking at the characteristics of sheep and goats, you can recognize why God created them to act and to be the way they are. It was to teach a very important lesson. The sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd and they will follow his voice. They will obey his commands. But the goats are completely different. You have to put a rope on them to get them to go where you want. They're completely different. God created them that way to teach us lessons of truth. May we be a sheep and not a goat. Yeah, we'll find out more in Christ Object Lessons. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
I was wanting to know, even if that, what about if you're serving food and giving and you don't have a heart for Christ and you're giving away food to people and clothes?
Well, than Matthew there that we read, that many will say unto you, Lord, you know, we've done all these great things. Why are we lost? And Christ said, because you did not get rid of sin in your life. And there's no way that you can rid yourself of sin without Christ's divine power helping you. So if they've done all these good deeds but did not accept Christ into their heart, they're going to be lost. They did not accept the only one that could save them, which was Christ Jesus. So there's going to be a lot of good people, a lot of individuals that did everything right, but they're still going to be lost because they did not accept Christ into their heart to be the king of themselves. They chose to be their own king, and no one can save themselves. Are there any other answers that individuals would like to bring forth on this comment of our dear sister? Please feel free. Yeah, amen. There's a comment in the room that says, God's divine power can bless his people through non-believers. And that's true. I mean, God can work upon the heart of unbelievers and lead them to do things that will be a blessing to his people and to others as well. But without the personal choice to accept Christ, then there's no way that they can be saved, because there's only one name in this entire world that can bring you salvation, and that is the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Any other name will not save you. That's why denominationalism really has no place in the gospel, because it's not being a member of the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church or the Adventist Church or the Nazarene Church that's going to bring you salvation. Salvation is not in a denomination. Salvation is only in Christ Jesus. If you have him, then you have eternal life. If you don't have him, even though you may have the church, you will not see life. So don't let the denomination take the place of Christ in your heart. Keep Christ there, and then you're saved.
I'm glad that God doesn't judge you by your race, your education, where you live, or if you're rich or poor. I'm glad that's not based on heaven. Thank God.
Oh, amen, dear sister. Thank God indeed. God is no respecter of persons. So he doesn't respect the color of your skin. He doesn't respect your educational preferences or, you know, he doesn't respect whether you're rich or poor. He looks at everyone on the same level, that they have the precious chance of having salvation. So regardless whether you're rich or poor, white or black, it doesn't matter to God. Even male or female doesn't matter to God, because each has a heart that can be reached and brought to salvation. Christ took away the barrier between Jew and Gentile. So everyone can now come to Christ and find salvation. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter how smart you are. All that matters is coming to Christ, and that takes a choice. And God even gives us enough evidence to base our choice upon. God is love. He sent his son to die for you. Jesus accepted the mission, came down, died for you. What more proof of his love do you need? If someone died for you so that you could live, wouldn't you love them? Wouldn't you appreciate the great sacrifice they gave? I mean, how much more could they give you than their own life? That's what Christ has done for you. Even before you knew him, he died for you. He died to set you free so that you could live and avoid dying the second death. So he saves you from destruction. All he asks is you give him your heart. That's the only thing that you have control of. You can give him your heart. He's knocking on your door, but you have to open it. The devil can't keep you from opening it. Only you yourself prevents you from opening it. It's your choice. Even the demoniac there in Gennesaret, he was possessed of the legion. Many devils were in him controlling all his actions, but they couldn't control him running down to Jesus. They could control what he said, but Christ read his heart and set him free. Dear ones, you may not know what to say to God, but he reads your heart. He knows that you've made a choice to accept him. So even though you may never say a word, God reads your heart and can set you free.
I was thinking about the thief on the cross. He didn't have time to really know Jesus, but he believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and Jesus read his heart and promised him eternal life.
Amen, amen. The thief also confessed that Jesus was the Savior and that Christ had a kingdom. And the thief said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. So Christ did read his heart. The thief also made public confession that Christ was his Savior. So he confessed Christ before men. Christ will confess that thief's name before the Father. And that ex-thief will have eternal life. Any other thoughts or comments, questions, testimonies or songs, please feel free.
How about a song? Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that he passed, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor. Tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Amen. Very appropriate hymn, dear brother, and thank you. There was a request for He Lives. Would you like to start us out, dear sister?
Okay. I serve a risen Savior. Maybe not. How about you?
Oh, thank you for trying. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find.
No other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within our heart.
Amen.
Those were one of my favorite songs, especially Tell Me the Story of Jesus.
Amen. Praise God for impressing hearts to sing them, and dear sister. And what a blessing. Well, dear ones, remember I mentioned last Sabbath that there was a planned meeting that was going to take place in Western New York around the end of April. Those particular plans have been put on hold. One of the ladies that was going to be involved in all of that preparation, in fact, where we were going to stay in their home, their son passed away. And the lady is in her mid to upper 80s. And so with all of that stress and uncertainty and trouble and sorrow, it was just too much for her. And so the other sister that was taking a lead in preparing the meetings, her health is not that good. And there's no way that she can do it herself. So sadly, those plans have been put on hold, and there is no date set to resume those plans. So please, yeah, amen. Please keep both of them in prayer, and Lord willing, in the future, perhaps later this year, those plans can be resumed. So, amen. Thank you for keeping them lifted, especially the lady who lost her son. And we pray that she will indeed give her heart to Jesus and have the comfort of God's Spirit to help her through this time. So thank you so much. Yeah, amen. Amen. God has overruled, and he has another plan. In the meantime, the sister has asked for a lot of materials to be sent her so she can pass it out. And so the work of spreading the message is still going on. It's just it's not going to be through meetings at this point. It's going to be more of the silent messengers. So keep hearts in prayers as well. Are there any other thoughts or comments, songs, requests, anything that you'd like to share?
I want to clarify, my dear sister Michelle. I speak Spanish, Sister Michelle. My typing is awful. What I was stating with Sister Shaka had actually made a comment, and she was talking about a lot of people that like to give foods and stuff like that. I was just placing in the room that the Catholics are known for great charity. You know, anytime when there is people with homeless and stuff like that, you can see that they have a lot of their churches open for people to get food and things like that. And then with the Protestant, I noticed that anytime when they have disasters, they always have like disaster release. So with all of the good works that they are doing, they a lot of them might feel because of their charitable work, their salvation is granted. But I just wanted to be able to state that only the merit of Christ's righteousness and the obedience to his word, which we already know that he said that he coming in the volume of the book that is written of him. You can do all of this good work and not have Jesus in their heart in the sense of the righteousness of Christ for salvation. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you for explaining that, because I was thinking, what, you know, diseases or what, you know, things were Protestants doing to make natural disasters? That's, so I misunderstood. So that's why I questioned you.
It's okay, dear sister. That's why I call Joshy the Englishman. Anytime when he's around me, I always say, can you check that for me? But anytime when you see I do something like that, Josh is not around so he can check. And Gina and I, we are in the same boat. So when Josh is not around, there's nobody to be able to check it. So it's okay. It's okay, dear sister. You can always ask.
Amen. Yeah, there was a comment put in the room that says you cannot work your way to heaven. And that is so true. It doesn't matter how many sacred shrines you visit. It doesn't matter how many circles that you prayerfully make in the rings that are actually pagan in origin. It doesn't matter how much food you give out. It doesn't matter if you even give your life. If you don't have Christ, it amounts to nothing. And again, there's going to be a lot of good people that wake up in the second resurrection. They're lost, all because they did not accept Christ as their Savior. Their good works amounted to being proud of what they did, instead of their good works being done out of love for what Jesus did. I even heard a statement from one of the billionaires. And the billionaire was going to leave the majority of his money to charity. And it wasn't from the motive of wanting to help those that the charity was going to help. It was from the motive that he didn't want any of his family getting his money. So he was going to leave his billions to charity to keep it out of the hands of his family, because he knew his family were self-centered and all of that business. So giving your money to the poor is a right example. It comes from Christ. But he wasn't doing it from the motive of loving Christ and following his example. He was doing it from the motive of keeping money out of the hands of his family. So there's no reward of eternal life going to be given to that billionaire until he accepts Christ as his Savior. And then his motive will be out of love for Christ. Sell what you have and give to the poor and follow me. And then you'll have eternal life. Until they do that, they're not going to be saved, even though they do good works.
I was thinking of the story of Desmond Doss, who was a conscientious objector during World War II, and he saved the life of 75 wounded fighters by devising a lift that would take them down a steep cliff where they could get help from the mobile hospital unit there. And he was
so tired and ready to give up, but he kept saying, just one more, just one more. And God was leading him to the people that needed to be rescued. It was an amazing story. And Desmond Doss was one that loved his Lord.
Desmond Doss, yes, you speak of that special deal that he made. When he was in training, the two ends of the rope were being practiced. So other people were practicing making bowline knots. And he didn't have an end to work on, so he made his bowline in the middle of the rope. And that's what he used to put around each leg of his victim and probably wrapped it around their chest and let them down off of that mountain. He told us that in person when I was in school. And he later was telling his experience, and I don't know whether he was in Japan telling it or where, but somebody in the audience came up to him later and said, you know, I was a soldier on the Japanese side, and I tried my best to shoot you. I had you in the crosshairs of my rifle again and again and fired, and it never seemed to hit you. So the Lord made those bullets do a side trip, I guess.
There is no weapon formed that can harm the follower of Christ if God says no. So we serve a risen Savior, dear ones. And he's in the world today, in our hearts. And we're part of his kingdom that will never be destroyed. Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions, songs? Please feel free.
It doesn't even matter how many morals or how many values you have. It can't save you.
That is true. Only Jesus saves. Amen. Quotation put in the room, it says, we are to keep looking up, that faith may bind us to the throne of God. Do not look down as though you were bound to the earth. Do not keep up an examination of your faith, pulling it up as though it were a flower, to see if it has any root. Faith grows imperceptibly. Amen. Amen. Under his wings. Is that a request?
Under his wings, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am his child. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow, how the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort, and there I am blessed. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can search? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Elder Rob, the hymn before, I thought you was gonna lead out and I kinda blocked you, so that's what I was saying. I'm sorry. And then after Sister Joe, you was gonna start and then Sister Joe start and I said, oh, we were sorry. Okay.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hands of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Are there any other songs, any other thoughts that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
I happen to remember a song about Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the image, if it's okay if I can sing it. Oh, I know what you're dreaming. I know what you're dreaming. God has told me to pass the word of what I've seen and what I've heard. It's a simple message, sir, with a truly holy thing. Oh, I know what your dream means. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, believe me, it's my pleasure to come here to you and shed some light. I've been praying to God, and this may sound awfully odd, but I understand the dream you had last night. I saw a statue with a head of gold, silver, bronze, and iron, with big clay toes, symbolizing kingdoms of this earth. The golden face that I saw shining means down here you're the number one king. I'm giving you the facts, though they're worth. Oh, I know what your dream means. Oh, I know what your dream means. God has told me to pass the word, but what I've seen and what I've heard, it's a simple message, sir, with a truly holy thing. Oh, I know what your dream means. Now the rock that rolled on down and brought the statue to the ground shows the earthly kingdom soon will pass. And the interpretation is that out of all the nations, God's is the kingdom that will last. Oh, I know what your dream means. Oh, I know what your dream means. God has told me to pass the word, but what I've seen and what I've heard, it's a simple message, sir, or a truly holy thing. Oh, I know what your dream means. Oh, I know what your dream means. Oh, I know what your dream means. God has told me to pass the word, but what I've seen and what I've heard, it's a simple message, sir, with a truly holy theme. Oh, I know what your dream means. God has told me, King, what your dream means.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Praise God for being in control and for his great love for us. Can you imagine? Nebuchadnezzar was not a follower of God, and yet God had such love for him to give him the answer to what he was wondering. And of course, it was all designed to lead him to understand that God controls all things, and that he wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know that he exists. And praise God that Nebuchadnezzar, if I remember correctly, did give God his heart before he died. He became a wise king, at least at the end. But it took a while for him to get there, and that just shows the long-suffering mercy of God. Are there any other thoughts or comments, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
So do you think the three worthies and Jesus walking in the fiery furnace also helped him give his heart to God?
Amen. Amen. I mean, there were still things he had to overcome, but after he had that 7-year insane experience, I think there was nothing that he wanted to hold on to anymore except Jesus Christ.
And this gospel
of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Do you know, Brother Bob, I wonder with the study with the wise man, how the angels, when they came together and it looks like a star, it's like for our time, the third angel's message is a message that is also given for all the world to understand about those events that will be coming and how to see Jesus. We can see it in that way also with the third angel's message, right?
Amen. Amen. Back then, it was four angels that were hovering close together, and their light made it appear like a star. But today, the four angels' message, they still have bright light, but their light is to be shared with others by ourselves. So those that have accepted the three angels' messages, including the loud cry, are to share those angels' light to others. So amen, dear sister. And those who accept the light are indeed wise.
And also, Elder Rob, here the three wise men can see it from far. I wonder why in the actual city of Bethlehem, why the people was not alarmed as well? Because if they can see it from that far, you could imagine the people in that same city was able to see that. I wonder what was happening at that time that they couldn't even see, and it was right above them. You know, if they saw it from all the way where they were coming, you could imagine that something can be that bright and still not able. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, I understand, dear sister. They had to have seen it, but they didn't, I guess, recognize its importance, whereas the wise men recognized its importance, and they were following the light of those angels in order to find the Savior. It's the same with us. We're to follow the four angels' messages in order to find the light of Jesus. So, amen. Leading to the same end result. The Savior that taketh away our sins. It's been a wonderful Sabbath fellowship, dear ones. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for your edifying comments and singing and testimonies. Looking forward to the next time that we're together. And again, remember, the women's meeting is going to take place on this Monday evening at 6 p.m. And we have daylight savings coming in 12 hours and 25 minutes from now. I'm not going to be awake to change my clocks back at 2 a.m., but I'll do it Sunday morning when I get up.
Have a beautiful week.
Dear ones, until we meet again, keep looking up.
Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will roll over. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.